The views and discussion expressed on this program are for general information only and do not necessarily represent those of the host of the program or that of Faith and Friends Radio, its staff and management. Discussion of specific points and general topics on this program are not meant to be taken as specific professional advice. Please check with your doctor on these issues.
Welcome to Your Holistic Health on Faith and Friends Radio. Your host is Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum of RX Integrative Solutions. Stay tuned as we examine different aspects of holistic wellness. Here's your host, Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum.
Hello and welcome to Your Holistic Health, coming to you from the studios of Faith and Friends Radio in Dayton, Ohio. This is your host, Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum, holistic clinical pharmacist of RX Integrative Solutions. On today's show, we're going to be talking with Hannah Hoisted, the author of A Journey of Love, The Miracle Journey of Love, to be precise, a book that just came out and is a journey of her life that I think you're going to find amazing. So we're hoping that you'll stay tuned for the whole show tonight. Each week, Your Holistic Health presents evidence-based practical tips on how to integrate body, mind, and spiritual principles into everyday living. We'll turn to Scripture to give us perspective on every discussion focused on wellness and prevention, because we believe that God is a central part of the healing process. In the news this week, from the latest edition of Prevention Magazine, are some interesting tips on losing weight. And interestingly enough, eating three meals a day, according to these authors, is a good thing. Drinking water before you eat and having grapefruit at every meal are three tips that I want to share with you. Number one, eating three meals. Turns out in recent years, several small meals, although popular, may not be the ticket. In a 2011 study from Purdue, eating three meals a day with high amounts of lean protein helped folks feel more satisfied compared to those who ate smaller, more frequent meals. And it also forces one to eat a breakfast, which is always good. Number two, drinking water before you start. Turns out that water will blunt the hunger with an added bonus because we all need more water. Most of us don't get enough. People who drank two glasses of water before meals in a Virginia Tech study lost 50% more weight than those who didn't drink up. So there's a secondary benefit from drinking water, weight loss. And number three, last but not least, how about that grapefruit? With every meal, that's a stretch for me, but hey, why not give it a shot? Eating grapefruit, this is coming from research over a five-year period, 2003 to 2008, that found women who consumed grapefruit weighed up to 10 pounds less than those who didn't eat it at all. And as a pharmacist, I'll give you an additional caveat. Be careful with that grapefruit if you're on medications. Check with your pharmacist because, believe it or not, some medicines interact with grapefruit and it may cause them to be less effective. So do check before you eat that tasty fruit. Now it's time to introduce our guest. Hannah Hoisted was born and raised in Denmark. A very interesting woman. She studied advanced iridology under the famed Dr. Bernard Jensen at the Iridology International College in Los Angeles. She is also a naturopathic doctor and has attained that degree. She's a radio host, used to have a show on nutrition, and was the weekly guest host for Danny Burton and his show. She is the author of an incredible book and an incredible journey called The Miracle Journey of Love. Welcome, Hannah, to Your Holistic Health.
Thank you so much, Dr. Kathy, for having me. I am very, very excited to share a little bit about my story. And so I will just wait for you to ask me questions, and all right, I will try to do my very best.
Thank you. Well, as I have read, and I must tell you, I could not put your book down. It's a very quick read. Took me a couple of hours, but I simply could not put it down. And to begin, when you were a young girl, your parents divorced and lived in different cities, and you journal your life as a child growing up in Denmark and being taken away from your mom and living with your dad, who was at the time residing in a remote island called Faroe Island. Is that correct?
Faroe Island, correct.
Faroe Island, thank you. What was that like? I mean, you were 9 years old. What were the initial emotions and thoughts at that time, and what prompted you to write this book?
So Dr. Kathy, just to let you know first real quickly, because it kind of leads up to that, my parents actually went through a very bitter divorce when I was 3 years of age, and it got to the point that my dad would only sign the divorce paper if my mother would agree to that when I was 5 years of age, I would belong to my dad. In other words, he would be the one that would bring me up. And so when it came to the time that I was 5 years of age, my mother was, of course, panicking, and the lawyer said to her, there's nothing you can do. You already signed the paper. Well, she found another lawyer, and at the time he found out, because my dad was traveling a lot between Denmark and Faroe Island, and where his job, he was spent a lot of time in hotel, and in Denmark the law was such that you cannot bring up a child living in a hotel. And based on that, I my mother got to keep me. It was then later on that when I was 9 years old, I won't go too much into details, it would take too long, but our neighbor, Mrs. Nilsson, had told my mother, oh, what you have described to me, she said, it sounds like you could just be dying any day, and you need to make sure to send Hannah away either to your own mother, who lived in a different city, or to your former husband. So my mother kind of panicked and chose to send me to that Faroe Island. And that was very, very dramatic because, first of all, I really did not know my dad. I had seen him two times for a very short time. And so this Faroe Island, which is almost like 100 years behind time compared to Denmark, a different language, I did not know anybody. So it was a very, very dramatic thing for me. My aunt, she basically just got a nurse. And said, here, who I did not know either, and said, here, you got to take care of Hannah. This was a 3.5-day trip by sea on the Atlantic Ocean. And that was kind of how things started. So my life changed just in one day upside down. And the sad thing was that my mother, who found out just before I was leaving, she found out that she really did not have that illness that the neighbor had told her. And so she asked my aunt, please don't send Hannah. But my aunt said, no, it's too late. We have the ticket, everything. Everybody's waiting for her on Faroe Island. We cannot change it. So she is leaving tomorrow. And so with that, my mother got very ill. She had a nervous breakdown because now she had lost her child. And so that's kind of how that started.
So it's hard enough growing up as a youngster, and it's very hard in any divorced family to, try to reconcile the fact that your parents are not living in the same location. But worse still, when one is so far away that one doesn't know, and then to deal with the fact that your mother was, she thought, very ill at the time. Turns out that she was not at the time when she first felt it important to send you away for your safekeeping, really. It was
right.
An honorable thing, not, a little bit confusing. But as I read your book in that time, I felt that you weren't quite sure why your mother was sending you away. Was that a true impression?
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, absolutely, because I came home from school that day, and so I noticed, the neighbor said, well, Hannah, you have to come and stay here overnight until your aunt from Copenhagen is going to come and pick you up. And I'm like, what is all this about? Well, my mother was already in the hospital by the time I got home from school, which I believe was on the Saturday at 2 o'clock at noon. And so I really didn't know. And I still recall to this day when next day on a Sunday, my aunt and I went by to the hospital, and there my mother is sitting in the hospital bed, and her knowing that this would be the very last time she would ever see me, I did not know that, but that's what my mother thought, because she thought she was going to die. That was a very, very emotional moment. I still remember it very clearly.
I'm sure you do. Let's fast forward a bit now. So the trip abroad was a little traumatic, but now you're on Faroe Island with your father, and you've now been introduced to other extended family, your cousins, your grandma and grandpa, which I believe you call Oma and Appa. Is that correct?
Correct. Yes.
In the book.
Correct. Yep.
And yeah. Oma, it turns out, is a very good spiritual sort of mentor for you, and believed as a member of the Catholic faith, I think you have shared, that, and I'll quote from your book, that God hears every prayer from a heart that sincerely reaches out to Him. When did you first reach out to God, and why did you do that?
I reached out to God when I came to Faroe Island, because my grandmother, even so my dad, that was her mother, his mother, but she realized that I did not belong there, that I belonged back in Denmark with my mother. And so she taught me to pray. Now, back in Denmark, I certainly never went to school. I had heard about Jesus, was a little baby. That's all I ever knew. And it was not something, my mother never talked about God. My friends never talked about God. So it was a brand new thing for me to think that I could actually pray to God and He would possibly answer my prayer. And of course, I only had one prayer, and that was continuously every day that I would see my mother again somehow. I did not know how God could possibly do that, but that was, of course, my one and only prayer. And in fact, I would ask my dad, at times I would ask him if I could please send a letter to my mother, and he said, no, you must forget your mother, you must never talk about her again. He was very, very strict. And so it was very difficult. But like I said, my grandmother was a wonderful, wonderful person. And we went to church every Sunday. But my main thing was, of course, to pray to God to see my mother again.
Did your father earnestly think that your mother was dying?
I don't really think he knew one way or the other, because he just got a telegram saying Hannah is coming with such and such boat, because the boat, actually, they were only sailing once a month. It was a very, very dramatic trip to even go there. Mm. So I don't think he knew any way other than just that I was arriving and that was it. Mm. And he's like, well, fine.
Well, still a very confusing time for you for months. I'm sure.
Yes. 5 months, yes.
And yet your father, I very clearly felt his love of you and for you and his devotion to you, although you did mention to us that he was a perfectionist and wanted you to grow up to be a nun, you said. Yet your mother said to you, you were as important as the Queen of Denmark. And she laughed and played with you games and made it a world full of dreams, that you could be anything that you wanted to be. You didn't turn out to be a nun, I see.
That's right.
But both did. Both parents, it seems, did have some sort of guidance and perhaps some spiritual influence on your life as a young girl, don't you think?
My mother, I will just share this with you. What I really learned from my father, if I just were to pinpoint it down to one thing, was honesty. My dad had absolutely a passion about honesty, and my mother taught me about love, but it was really my Oma who taught me about God, because my mother and I never spoke about God. And even my dad, even so, he had quite a few Bibles, which I later on inherited from him. He never talked to me about God either. So it was only my Oma who talked to me and prayed with me every day. We went on our knees and prayed to God. But that was the only connection I had at the time.
When we come back from break, Hannah, I'm going to ask you more about that relationship among your mother, your father, and your Oma, because I think there's more to that story. If you're just joining our show, this is Your Holistic Health. Tonight we're talking with Hannah Hoisted, author of The Miracle Journey of Love. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back.
Your Holistic Health is brought to you by RX Integrative Solutions. Many Americans are taking prescription medications and wish they could find a way to take less. 42% of us have tried some type of complementary or holistic practice, including vitamins and other dietary supplements. Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum of RX Integrative Solutions provides personalized consultations to review your prescription medications and dietary supplements and helps you find a simpler, back-to-basics way to health. She'll work in partnership with your primary care physician. For more information or to sign up for a consultation, visit rxintegrativesolutions.com. That's rxintegrativesolutions.com.
We're back, and you're listening to a broadcast of Your Holistic Health on Faith and Friends Radio in Dayton, Ohio. I'm Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum, and our guest this evening is Hannah Hoisted, author of The Miracle Journey of Love, a story of her life and her journey to Christ, which I think I'll use the term breathtaking, because it took my breath away when I read it for the first time. So Hannah, let's talk a little bit more now about how God was weaving his hand through your life among three very important people in your life, your mom, your dad, and your Oma, and how, even unbeknownst to you, that miracle that you talk about in your book was starting to happen right before your eyes. I still sense, putting us at your age, age nine, that perhaps many days were spent just trying to sort through the facts, trying to make sense of what was happening to you, trying to reestablish relationships, and yet your heart must have been broken.
Absolutely, yes. It was. Going back to my dad, he was a perfectionist. And in fact, I remember one time I had to sit after school, which was very embarrassing for my dad. And that was because I couldn't name all the islands on the entire Faroe Island, which of course is different language. And when my dad found out, well, that was a great punishment. My dad, and again, I want to still portray him as a wonderful dad, because he loved me just as much as my mother did. It was maybe a little different circumstances, but I remember one time I had a cold sore. My dad literally, I don't have this in the book, but he actually took a knife and cut it out. He literally cut it out because he could not accept that it was there. And again, I did not put that in the book. But he was a wonderful, wonderful person. The miracle that I am talking about is on Easter Sunday, because two miracles happened. Is that okay if I share what that
please,
was?
Oh, please, please.
Yeah. So I had gone, this was Easter Sunday, and all the kids, we had all boiled a whole bunch of eggs. I don't know if they do the same thing. I think they do that here in the United States too. But anyway, and so we were all rolling the eggs down, and all the kids were having fun, and I had a wonderful Sunday. I came home, and so here came Oma, and she was almost my height. Keep in mind, I was this little girl, 9 years old, and she came with this telegram and waving back and forth, and she said, Hannah, I got a telegram. Your mother is coming tomorrow. I took my Oma, and I lifted her up. I was so excited. This was so exciting. My mother had literally sent a telegram. She had escaped. This is a different part of the book, but she had actually escaped two times out from the hospital where she was at to go and get a ticket and go on this long journey to Faroe Island. When I found out that my mother was coming next day, this was, I can honestly tell you, I have never had a moment like that in my life. And I've had many wonderful moments, but I've never had a moment like that to think that God answered that prayer that I had every day that I would see my mother. And so that was the one miracle. And the second miracle was that the same day, I remember I said to my Oma, I'm going to go up in the mountains because there's all mountains all over the place. And I just talked to God and I said, I promise you, God, from this day forward, I will always, always have faith in you. And I live by this today, and even so, I have a passion about nutrition. There's only one more passion. I have a passion about teaching people about faith in God, but that's just a different story.
Well, I love it. And again, putting ourselves in your shoes at age 9, up until this moment when you received the telegram from your Oma that your mother was coming, you really didn't know that your mother was alive or dead. Did you? I mean, she was
not in contact
with you for many, many months.
Right.
And I'm sure that that played into your heart. And yet now here's how I feel. Forgiveness. Forgiveness was given to you, maybe not articulated at that moment, but through the love of Christ. I felt that come through your book. And I want to share that back with you, that you were a very gentle spirit through a very tumultuous time. Did you sense the notion of forgiveness once you heard about that telegram? What was going through your mind then?
I have to be honest, I really didn't. My only thing was just God answered my prayer day in, day out. This, we're talking about 5 months. Mm-hmm. And just the excitement to imagine I'm going to see my mother. And of course, I told all my cousins, everyone. I had lots of cousins. And I was just like, oh, wait till you see my mother. She is the most beautiful person you can ever imagine. That was just, that there was really nothing other than I had made that commitment to God that I will always, always trust him. Mm. And I will, yeah.
I love that. Thank you. What's one of your favorite Bible verses and why?
Well, I have many, but the first one I would like to maybe just mention too. The first one is from Nehemiah 8:10, and I can honestly say that the joy of the Lord is the strength in my life. You know, because lasting joy really comes only through a relationship with Jesus Christ. And so many times people will say, well, how can you be so happy? Well, you know, I look forward every day to get up in the morning and to just like, who am I going to meet? And what is today going to be? So I always expect a great, great day. I really honestly do. And then the other scripture, which is one that I used to end my radio broadcast with, which was, let your light so shine before men that everyone will see Jesus through you. I think that's important because whether we're with Christians or non-Christians, you know, I think it's important, let's say for non-Christians, to see that you have that shining light of Jesus in you and that they're going to want, what is it she has? I would like some of that, right? And I think by having that shining light of Jesus in you. And one of my favorite, you didn't ask me the question, but my favorite book in the Bible is really the book of Proverbs because it's full of wisdom, and I believe we all need to seek wisdom. Mm. So obviously there's many scriptures, but I'll just leave it just at that.
Well, you know, and I'm so intrigued by your spirituality and your close walk with the Lord, and how, tell us, does that or will it fit in with your work and your chosen professions of being in naturopathy and being in iridology? Weave us a story and how that all got sort of blended together his hand?
Actually, this actually happened many years ago. I was watching a program. I lived in San Diego, and they had the Phil Donahue show, and I really liked it because quite often they had on a nutrition. And so one day there was a show, and they were talking about the book Sugar Blues and how terrible it is to have sugar. Well, I knew sugar wasn't good for you, but I couldn't imagine it would be that bad. I went out and purchased the book, and that actually started my journey into health and nutrition. I start reading lots and lots of books. I still read lots of books. I believe we are never going to know it all, but again, we're back to the wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. I think is so important to educate ourselves, so I do really, really have a passion about nutrition, because there are so many people that are sick. And I sometimes think, when I think going back to the joy of the Lord, and I say kind of to myself, well, it's easy for me. I feel great. How about somebody who has pain, which is a lot of people, or people have a negative life? Well, that's why, you know, we just got to take care of our body. I sometimes want to stand and yell out from the top of the, you know, building, people wake up. Get well. You know, we have one body. God has given us one body. You know, it should be a law that we shouldn't be able to graduate from school before we know about our body. I think people learn so many things, but they don't really learn the important thing about our body, how it works, what we should eat and drink and think, for that matter. So, yes, I do have a passion. Only faith in God is above that. Other than that, there's faith in God and Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, and after that comes nutrition.
I love
in my life.
Yeah. We're coming on the final moments of our show, Hannah, and I want to ask you, please, what is your Christian take-home message, because that's what you are today. You've survived all of this, and not only survived, but you've flourished. You are a flourishing flower, Hannah, and an angel for all that you've done now to give back and to help others from your experiences. What is your take-home Christian message for anyone who may be struggling with divorce and a life that perhaps is not as traumatizing as yours, but still difficult to overcome?
Yeah. Dr. Kathy, there's really one word only I can think of, is forgiveness. Because once you forgive, we need to forgive the people that have hurt us, and we need to forgive ourselves. So I put it all into one word, forgiveness, because once you have forgiven, and I had to do that myself. I went through a divorce. It wasn't easy. But, you know, it really wasn't until I learned to forgive that person. And I also know exactly when you know that forgiveness is there, when you are able to truly, honestly pray for that person who hurt you and ask God to bless them. When you can do that, you have accomplished it.
Matthew 18:21-22. Then Peter came up to him and said, Lord, how many times may my brother sin against me and I forgive him and let it go? Up to seven times? Jesus answered him, I tell you, not up to seven times, but 70 times seven. Hannah,
that's
where
right.
Can listeners go to purchase your book and learn more about you?
I have a website, and it is, I will spell it, but I'll first say it, it's hannahhoisted.com. So it's hannahhoisted.com, and just click on lulu.com, and that's how you can get my book.
All right. Once again, Hannah Hoisted, author of The Miracle Journey of Love, a must read. Thank you so much, Hannah, for being our guest tonight on Your Holistic Health.
Thank you, Dr. Kathy. I appreciate it. God bless you.
God bless you, my dear. This is Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum of RX Integrative Solutions, and I want to close with the quote of the week. And this is by Jason Kravitz, and I quote, "Be infinitely flexible and constantly amazed," end quote. You are invited to my website at rxintegrativesolutions.com for a library of free health-related articles that I've written just for you. Please tune in again next week to hear Gaetano Williams, executive chef of Tano Bistro in Loveland, Ohio, talk about healthy cooking on the next edition of Your Holistic Health. You are loved. Blessings and good night.
The views and discussion expressed on this program are for general information only and do not necessarily represent those of the host of the program or that of Faith and Friends Radio, its staff, and management. Please contact your healthcare provider for specific professional advice on these topics.
Thank you for being a part of our discussion today. Please join Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum each Friday, 6 p.m., on Faith and Friends Radio for Your Holistic Health.